This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Yes, a blubbering baby.
It's fine. It's okay. If you man up and own it, it's less bitchy.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to you by ManaDeprived.com and 60cards.com. Check us out.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal palm-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
I don't know about you guys, or I'm just mind-tricking myself constantly.
Jay Boosh.
They're of a different culture, KYT. They prefer their magic untainted by the internet.
Scotty.
Then you just pull the fucking Mindslaver and you just dome them with their own dude. That's entertainment.
And Medina.
I'm on camera and I'm like, oh man, don't blink. Act like you meant to do this.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey guys, this is KYT. Welcome to episode 98 of the A-Team Podcast. We are joined, as always, with Jay and Mr. Scotty Mac. We don't have Medina here because he's too busy ripping kids off at Gen Con, so
it is Shark Week, after all.
What a scummer.
But we got someone that absolutely love to have back on. Welcome back to the show, AJ. How's it going?
Hi. I forgot that Medina was a thing, and I have an awesome Medina story for you.
Yes. Oh, that's okay. We like Medina stories.
I can like swear and stuff, right? It's been a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is like the podcast where I can say
you
whatever
can say
I want.
What and crap, that's it. And
all right, that's so
the only thing we do have to caution you on is extreme racism is probably in poor taste.
Okay.
Like extreme.
I don't care if you say it, but somebody out there might.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but Ben SW was, we were at some invitational. I want to say it was the Star City Invitational in Indy. And there's this guy watching, you know, from the railings, watching the feature match. And Ben SW goes up behind him. And Ben was maybe a little intoxicated. He's like, hey, Medina, you fucking suck, man. You're a fucking scumbag. You know that? And the guy just doesn't turn around. And Ben's just like, Medina, you're such a piece of shit. You don't know what you're talking about ever. And I hate you. And just like going off. And finally, the guy turns around. And it's just like, are you talking to me? And Ben's like, yeah, Medina, fuck you. And the guy goes, I'm not John Medina. I'm Pete Hoffling. I own all of this. It's nice to meet you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then the second punchline is that Ben, instead of being like, oh, shit, sorry. He goes, oh, you're Pete? Well, I got a bone to pick with you, too.
Oh, no.
Like, Evan Irwin is so dumb. It's like going off.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it was funny. They worked it all out, and everything's all fine. But, I mean, Ben and Pete and Evan. I don't know.
Yeah. Medina.
Yeah. I can't imagine John and Ben are friends now.
Well, do you are you still writing for Star City? Like, I haven't seen anything from you for a while. Like, what's going on there?
I haven't written in like 2 months. I've been too busy streaming and traveling.
Okay.
But I actually have like an article coming out for like the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Ooh.
Like every week. So
awesome. What are the like, is it a series on stuff or just
two of them are a series. It's like I'm talking about Red Green and Delver and not like how Red Green is built and how it plays against Delver. And then after I like read an article about it, then I'm doing an AJTV where I kind of walk through a bunch of games and show examples of the things that I wrote about in the previous article.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but it's like going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, that's sick. Well, I mean, from your past appearances, though, too, we know how much work you put into all that stuff, right? Like, you're the pinnacle perfectionist.
Yeah, I'm so stupid. Why can't I just shit out some fucking 2,000-word nonsense with a decklist and collect a paycheck?
Like how many other people are doing right now?
Can't reinvent the wheel. You know, sometimes you just gotta go with what works. People are lazy.
So I have noticed that you've been playing a lot of Red Green lately, and it's just obviously because you feel it's the best deck or just well positioned right now.
Yeah, it's like I don't want to be playing Blue White Delver because I don't think it's like it does the things that you want to be doing, and I think that Bonfire is the best card in the format, and I think that backing it with like aggression and good mana is obviously where you want to be. Like, you don't want to be a control deck with Bonfire.
Yeah.
So, I tried Blue-Red Delver for a while, but it just wasn't getting it done. Like, it didn't have the mana, it didn't have the card advantage, and, so I tried Red-Green, and, like, my build was really bad, and I was still just crushing everything, so I decided to invest some time in it, refine it, practice with it, so on.
Nice. So then we get to see the results of that in your article series and AJTVs in the next 4 weeks.
Yep.
Sick. All right. Love it.
Just in time for rotation.
Woohoo! In that case, then, like, speaking of your streams that you've been doing. So when we first had you on, you were, you know, basically pioneering, like, starting the whole streaming thing back up again, right? Like, you were really trying to take it to that next level. And now everybody and their grandson is fucking streaming right now.
Including you.
Including me. It's been a blast. It's so much. It's terribly addictive.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah, because I've been kind of taking a page out of Kibler's book and getting myself fucking smashed, you know, and just like doing it to dirtle around instead
people
of actually.
Like that.
What's that?
People seem to like that.
Oh, it's unreal. It's like as soon as you can show your human side. And just completely expose yourself in public like that without, you know, being arrested for it.
Yeah.
It's wild. And it's so much fun. Yeah, it's been a good time. You obviously have been going quite a different route with yours. And, I mean, it just seems like everybody kind of has their own take on it. I mean, from, you know, Michael Jacob being accosted by the police to, you know, Cedric Phillips and his unbelievable playlist for 14-year-old girls. And I'm not giving him shit because I fucking love it, too. You know... I'm sorry. That's terrible. I have to listen. You know what? I watch Cedric's stream, and it, almost always I just listen to the music. Like, it's terrible. It's
you just put it on as, like, a DJ in the background.
It's so bad. It's so I love it. It's guilty, right?
I like to market myself as the only stream with listenable music.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anything's got to be better than fucking Tom Martell's. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They all are so good at magic, so bad at listening to music.
Yeah. So chime in then, AJ. Tell us about, you know, give us your thoughts on the phenomenon now.
Yeah, it's insane how far we've come. Like when I started, I was getting, you know, like 100, 150 viewers and was like trying to make it a thing. Believe that it was the future of Magic content, and I still do. And now we're getting, like, Kibler has broken 1,600 people, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
Cedric and MJ and Sam Black are hitting, you know, 600 to 1,000 every single time they stream. And it's awesome. I mean, everyone's doing their own thing too, which is like exactly what you want.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I was saying about streaming when I was starting it, is like it's such a customizable format. You can infuse exactly as much of your personality into it as you want to, or you can just have it be the cold hard magic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and everyone's doing something different. And like Cedric has a set time that he streams, like he has a set show.
Yeah.
So people can tune in whenever they want, or, you know, whenever they can. And then other people stream whenever they want. And just whoever happens to be on their computer can watch. And then you have people like Sam Black streams from like midnight to 5 a.m. because he's a vampire.
Yeah.
And so there's just always a stream going. And that's exactly what I wanted it to be. And yeah. we're getting to that point, and it's really, really cool.
It's interesting, too, because what I'm finding is I think that the major feather in the uptake here, not only is that wide variety of content, but I think that the fact that they've now been able to mobilize it, and I mean, coming from, you know, the cellular technology world in my day job, I mean, the fact that we can now have a fully buffered and like live rendered stream on our handheld devices anywhere in the world right now is mind-blowing.
We live in the future.
Yeah. And but I think that that's been a really, really big piece of, you know, of getting it there. I mean, kudos to the guys over at Twitch for really, you know, running with the mobile app and getting it developed properly, you know. And it's been really, really good. Cause like I find myself now, if I'm just like in between appointments or whatever, I'm out in sales, right? Driving around. I'm in between appointments. I'm in between podcasts or whatnot. And I got like 10 minutes to kill. You're damn right. I'm firing up the Twitch app and, you know, watching whatever's on.
Yeah.
It's so outstanding.
Yeah, it's awesome. The guys at Twitch are so good. Just like even since I've been there, the changes they've made just insane. They redid like pretty much their entire monetization scheme, and it's like way more intuitive now. And also, like I've been working with a lot of the higher ups from the beginning to make Magic streaming a thing, and they've been amazing about putting like GPs and Pro Tours and Star City things both in their like weekly newsletter email and featuring streams on their front page and all that stuff. It's been unbelievable working with them. They're really cool. And you're right. The technology is really what drives streaming, right? Like if there was a delay, like that's one of the things is people say that you should delay for ghosting or whatever. But if there was a delay, whether it's on purpose or because the tech isn't there, then streaming just doesn't work.
Yeah. But well, I mean, there's still a delay now, but I mean, it's so like marginal,
20
right?
seconds, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, like when people stream poker or whatever, you need a 15-minute delay.
Yeah.
And that's like you see a hand and you try and talk to the guy about it and he's just like, that was 15 minutes ago. I don't remember what I was thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And for Magic, it's so important to be in the moment and be like, okay, with this knowledge, because right after you make your decision, they play a Thragtusk, right? And you can't go back and put yourself back in the situation very easily because your perception is going to be colored.
Yeah. The interesting piece that goes along with that is some of the people like John Laux, for example, I know is now doing like crowd drafting.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really cool.
God, again, that's hilarious.
People being able to do like to make streaming, there are so many different things. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty amazing.
Personally, I think the streaming by committee is moronic, but it's like cool that exists, right?
Well, and that's just it, right? I mean, the fact it's like you can do it, why wouldn't you? I mean, you'd clearly never do it for, you know, a draft that matters or gold cues or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, if you're just messing around and getting listeners and having a good time, like why wouldn't you, right?
Right. No, it's a social thing more than anything else, and like a participation thing, because that's one of the things that one of the sort of pockets of the stream community of the audience are people that love Magic but can't afford to play online.
Yeah.
Like either they can't afford to play period or they can't afford to play online and in real life and they have all their cards and, you know, go to FNM and stuff, but they can't moto during the week. And so they kind of like live vicariously through you. And the draft by committee is just perfect for people like that. So, I mean, there's definitely a market for it. It's just, like, for me personally, like, the reason that I liked watching StarCraft streams was because I wanted to see what the pros were doing, not to see what, like, a bunch of Gold Leaguers were doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that it's interesting because there's that whole social aspect of it too. I mean, you know, when I've had my messy booze fueled streams at night, it's honestly just because everybody's there and it's like a communal gathering.
Yeah.
Where you're all doing something together, you know?
Yeah. It really feels like hanging out with friends, and you get like, you have like 300 or 400 viewers and you recognize half the names.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like hanging out with friends. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's terribly addictive.
Yeah, and it is. I was supposed to stream one draft today and I ended up doing three.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. Well, I lost the finals of the first one. I had to get a win.
You can't lose. You can't stop on the losing note, right? Like,
of course not.
So here's the next one. Okay. So the next point that's coming out about streaming is everybody's saying that it's really hard to play well and stream at the same time without absurd amounts of practice.
It takes some getting used to. And there's also the fact that, like, people think that people that are streaming are playing worse than they actually are. A, because it's somebody that's, like, so much better than them that they're sort of just thinking on a completely different level. Like, that's one of the most common things I've seen when I've been watching Sam stream, is somebody's just like, oh, why do you not attack there? And, like, to me, it's obvious, and MJ is in the chat just screaming at the guy because he's, like, not understanding that the only way we could possibly lose this game is if the guy goes, you know, fairy, unsummon, untap, archaeomancer, unsummon, unsummon, or whatever. And so that's one factor. And the other factor is just that people don't realize how badly they play when they're playing.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you were watching a stream of yourself, you would be like, wow, this guy is way worse than me.
And the other thing, too, is I find that I question my plays more regularly when there are other people watching.
Yeah, there's for sure that, too. Like, Cedric, when Cedric was first streaming, he likes to do a lot of, like, chat interactivity, you know? Like, hey, what do you guys want to do here? And so often, he'll, like, make a play on turn two that sets him down a specific line, and then on turn four or five, he'll be like, hey, chat, what do you want to do? And they'll, like, be like, play your biggest guy, when that, like, goes directly against what
he was setting up
his whole strategy was. And so when he started streaming, he's just like, all I do is lose. What is wrong with me? And it definitely takes some getting used to, and there are definitely sacrifices, but it's not as bad as people think, I guess. I don't know how to phrase that. It's just like there are worse things, right? You could be watching somebody at FNM, but instead you're getting to watch Brian Kibler.
Yeah.
If he plays a little loose, then, like, whatever. You should still be learning an unbelievable amount from him.
Yeah. Well, it's not often, you know? Like, it's such a unique window. I mean, we were talking about this when you first started AJTV. I mean, like, the first time you were on. And we were saying how, you know, being able to actually witness these play lines with a running commentary over top of it is so much more valuable than just, you know, here's the written word, here's the article. Yeah. And streaming takes that to even the next level. And it's just amazing. Yeah, there's so much we can learn.
I'm looking forward to the next step, which is, you know, because I'm always trying to, like, push what Magic media content is.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm really looking forward to the most is, like, the John Madden-esque, like, instant replay right after the game finishes, where you can skip right to turn three and, like, draw arrows on the board and be like, you know,
that would be insane.
Out.
But to do that, you'd first need to get somebody with a personality who knew about Magic, which unfortunately is, like, lacking.
Brian Kibler.
Yeah, that's probably right.
There's no, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, I don't watch a stream.
Any people that could do it, I definitely agree with that, but there are, these people exist, and we should be using them.
Yeah.
So you've got to, like, record them at that point, right? Like, you've got to...
Yeah, you need a staff of, like, three more people than they have right now.
At least, yeah. Constantly, like live editing, like, setting up cutaways and...
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. But it would be sick.
You need, like, a whole band, you know? Like,
yeah.
a production van for like a sports cast. But
yeah, it's, and it would be sick and possible, but yeah, like you definitely would need, you know, people that aren't just retards, and you would definitely need like at least an interesting game and an interesting matchup as well. And like, it's a little bit different with like Magic 2, because like, it's not like there's not constantly just those lines of play or anything like that, like with football, where you sometimes they can call out what's going to happen, or you can see the formation, right? Like Magic's constantly changing, especially based on luck and stuff.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot harder. It's just like, the technology is there, right? It's just a matter of humans catching up to the technology.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking forward to the day where that happens. But first, you need so much more support. Like, that's the other thing about streaming and AJTV and, like, event coverage, you know, like Pro Tour coverage and stuff, is it was so new, so recently, like it's so still so young, that we're basically just now figuring out how to properly monetize it and get like a financial sort of feedback, like support loop, you know, where like, okay, so when people first tried to monetize streaming, I was of the belief that basically, like, sponsorships might come eventually, but for now, we're basically stuck only with Twitch TV's partner revenue share program.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, since I had an in with the guys at Twitch, you know, I was able to immediately... Normally, it takes, like, a big application process, and you already need a big following and blah, blah, blah. I was able to get partner for... like me and five other people, you know, like Kibler and Martel and Louis, mm-hmm. and just everyone when we started. And I thought that was like the way that it was going to be monetized. And then people came up with like really creative ways to do it, like chip-in programs for sponsorships to events and like donation things. But some of them were so short-sighted and so like bubbly, you know, that like they were just pushing a bubble that was, instead of trying to sort of build a system that could support itself. And so it was actually like kind of scary for a couple months in there, when basically the way that streamers were making money was like by begging for donations and having people just hand them money.
Yikes.
And that's not
like Kickstarter.
That's like not sustainable at all. Well, Kickstarter to me is closer to chip-in, right? Chip-in is basically Kickstarter's for projects and like inventions and stuff, whereas chip-in is more just like, hey, we all want this thing, but we all can't individually have it. Let's each give a couple bucks and then somebody can have it. Mm. So they had chip-in for events. So it'd be like, all right, I need a $300 chip in for a GP in 2 months. I'm going to stream 5 hours a day, 5 days a week up until that. And, you know, practicing for this event. And then like they're supported by the community. And that was reasonable. I don't think that that's where we want to be, but that was reasonable and forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the thing that was like borderline destructive and really not where we want to be at all, the people that were just blatantly like it, and they wouldn't even have Twitch partner, so they wouldn't even have the revenue share. They would just be directly asking for Moto product or dollars, like PayPal donations directly from community members and mm-hmm. for, you know, a burrito. And to me, that's not where we want to be. That's not sustainable. And it damages streaming as a whole, because if one person loves streams, he can't give $5 to all 50 streamers that have over 200 viewers. That's just like an absurd amount of money for one person to give. So by sort of dialing back away from that, and Cedric is really leading the way with this, like, Cedric and I have been talking on the side the whole time because he's like, he jumped on board a little late, but then was like, yeah, streaming is awesome. I want to do this full time and I want to make it bigger and better and so on. So, like I helped him get started and we've been working together and he's the one who basically brought sponsorships, like corporate sponsorships into the mix.
Yeah.
Now we have a sustainable income source that you can then take that money and A, support yourself, and B, put that back into the stream and like keep the money flowing through streaming rather than just you're a guy, I'm a guy, you give me $5, and that's not what you want to do. That's not how like business is run.
No, and you know what? It's funny because sponsorship is so important for all these sorts of medias, right? Because it's the most logical way for them to all stay, you know, stay afloat. I mean, like we in the podcast community understand that too. You know, like there's money that it takes us to do these sorts of things and, you know, and to continue to do them well and people's time is worth money and, you know, streaming is no different. And so absolutely, I think that, you know, Cedric has certainly approached it the right way. I mean, we've had discussions with him on the subject. He's talked about it here on the show. And like, absolutely, I agree with you. The corporate sponsorship is the future way to make this sustainable.
Yeah. And Cedric coming in and sort of pushing that and like revolutionizing the way that streaming was monetized was so important because now that is the way that things are, if you people that have the old sort of like give me money type of monetization have like less than 100 viewers, whereas they used to be have like followings, because the people don't want to be begged for money, but like having thing up there is so mutually beneficial for everyone involved. Like people need cards, so now they know where they can buy cards, and the stores need exposure, and now they have a bunch of exposure, and streamers need like regular income, like that reliable regular money coming in, and they have that from the sponsors, and so everyone is sort of coming up together instead of this zero-sum type thing of, again, I'm a guy, you're a guy, give me $5.
Yeah, because if everybody's winning towards positive effect, your non-zero point, I think, is relevant, right? Like, if everybody is all winning, then it's great for everybody. But if in that, you know, hand-me-money model, there's always a giver and a taker. There's a winner and a loser.
Instead of just Nash equilibrium.
Exactly. Instead of it just being sustainable for everybody. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's sick. So that all being said, if that's sort of the future and that's where we end up, then fantastic. What else do you see us potentially doing with streams in terms of content?
All right, so I have two things that I like know are either inevitabilities or things to work towards. One that I'm actually about to announce and start doing is lessons. I think that is a good way to sort of supplement your income from streaming, and that's something that I'm just stealing straight from StarCraft. Is like a StarCraft streamer who's really, really good but can't, you know, constantly win tournaments and get paid can charge X dollars an hour and help someone get better at the game. And then the other way that it's by non-Magic sponsorships, which hopefully will start at the Pro Tour level and trickle down. But again, from StarCraft, individual players being sponsored by individual companies that have nothing to do with StarCraft is like awesome and happens all the time. And I think that if Kibler's like breaking 2K, then that's a realistic thing.
Wow. That's actually, you know what? That would be mind-blowing, right? Like, if we actually get from non-Magic stuff, that's crazy.
Brian Kibler brought to you by Samsung.
Seriously. More realistically, like, Tiger Hats are us, but still pretty awesome. So, actually, it's funny that you should mention lessons, AJ. It's almost like, you know, you scripted this for me or whatnot. But, so I actually have a bit of an announcement that I'm putting forth. By the time this goes live, you guys may have seen it on Friday on my stream, but So what's happening is I'm actually starting a brand new stream, weekly stream with Column for Legit MTG. So we talked about it last episode where I'm, you know, on a mission to day two GP Toronto, so I need to familiarize myself with modern format and...
I'm fucking shooting for the skies there.
Hey, you know what? Listen.
I'm on day two of the tournament.
I'm going to day... No, come on, man. I'm a casual scrub. I'm going to day two a GP, damn it, and it's going to be in my hometown. That's what's going to happen. I know I'm good enough to day two a GP. I just need to know what I'm... I just got to get my head in the game. So I'm going to get my head in the game. So as a result, what I'm doing is I'm also... of course, going to ask, because you have to get proper coaching and get proper training and learn from the right people. So I'm going to have guests on my show periodically to, you know, help kind of counsel plays and maybe villain and whatnot. And AJ, would you join me for one of these episodes and share with me your ever flowing wisdom?
Sure.
Nice. we've got a whole ton of crazy people lined up that have agreed to do this, so I'm really, really excited about it. And yeah, like you said, the lessons I think are amazing. And I really hope that, you know, through this little contribution that I can at least show that it is going to be a worthwhile endeavor. Yeah. Because if at the end of all of this I achieve my goal and got maybe I top 64 the bitch, who knows, right? You know? And if that's the way it all goes down, then, you know, obviously the lessons are worthwhile and totally worth the money. So, yeah, that's the exciting news. That's fantastic.
That's pretty awesome.
Thanks, man.
Can't get over it. I'm going to day two the GP.
Damn it!
Come on, man.
You know what? It's... You got to listen. If I maintain smaller goals, they're more attainable.
Okay. I mean, it's like polar opposites, right? Some people, it's like, I need to absolutely aim for the tippy top. And then like, I'll get, once I get over my frustration, I'll be contented with. And for other people, it's just like, I need these like baby steps goals that like, I can sort of gauge myself on properly and like feel accomplished for and stuff. So I guess we're just different in that way.
Well, yeah, you know what? I would be really upset at myself if I shot really high and got, you know, didn't get there.
Right.
So I need to make sure that, you know, I set attainable goals. I mean, KYT is definitely a better player than I am. And I mean, he day twos half of his GPs and then sucks balls the next day. You know, so I can't expect to do any better than that off the gate. But
fair enough.
So we should like probably just address the elephant in the room, and then we can talk about Magic Cup, and then we can go into the fun stuff. But so for those of you that aren't on Twitter and maybe are just listening to us and not reading too many websites, there was a public statement released by Channel Fireball about one of their employees that is no longer working for them. Tristan Sean Gregson?
Yeah.
TSG. Is no longer affiliated with Channel Fireball. Apparently there was a lot of facts that were released from Channel Fireball's side in terms of police involvement and so on and so forth. Suffice it to say that it's not a very good split for anybody. There's some interesting points presented. A nice culmination was gathered for 20 tweets this week. So you guys could check that out. Thoughts and opinions on this, guys? Like, Jay, you want to chime in first on this? Since
sure.
It was your topic.
Since Scott didn't really tell you guys what happened, Tristan Scott Gregson stole like 100 million cards from Channel Fireball and then changed the name on his eBay account and then tried to sell them with his name still attached to the eBay account. Those are the facts that were put forth, like whether or not he stole it, whether or not, I don't know. Like, I watch a lot of Law and Order. And I'm just going on the facts that were put forth in the article released by Channel Fireball. So maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he did. I don't give a shit.
50 of the top 4 cards of Avacyn Restored. Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, the whole Twitter community is just like, it's just so weird and gross. I think it's like so... our community is so weird. Like, I don't want to make
you're
AJ
weird
mad.
And gross.
Because I honestly make AJ mad. It's just belligerent and angry. But, like, the big deal is, like, I understand LSV. being hurt, because it appears as though TSG was his like personal friend. So it'd be the same thing as if like KYT came to my house and then like walked out with my cube or, you know, my $1,000 claw blade deck or something like that. I'd be heartbroken, right? But like, yeah. I don't imagine that other people would also be heartbroken just to jump on the White Knight bandwagon. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Like,
well, he was
so annoying. Like, and then sorry to cut you off, but like,
no, please.
And then, everyone just wants to pussyfoot around that fucking topic, and no one wants to talk about it. And then if someone's like, nice fucking job, idiot, you sold your fucking works product from your personal eBay account, everyone is like, hey, don't say that shit. I can understand, like, saying, Stan, you're upset and angry, and you don't have to like make like personal attacks, and like, yeah, it's probably not super intelligent that he did this, but like, you could still call this guy out for being a piece of shit garbage motherfucker, could you not? And like, what's the issue? What is the
that you're just, like... I think the part that you're missing is that he was actually like a fairly beloved community member.
But like, isn't that even worse? Like, if some guy's a piece of shit, or even just a regular guy, like a Tom Martell, like if Tom Martell rips someone off, half the community is going to be like, yeah, that guy was a fucking troll piece of shit anyway, who cares? And the other half will be like, wow, that's crazy, and it sucks, and But
right,
like...
But, like, Martell was a bad example, because he's, like, a kind of controversial character, right? Like, TSG was just kind of a lovable oaf.
But that's what I mean, isn't it worse then? Like,
a more apt comparison would be if Evan was caught doing something like this.
Sure.
He was like a face of the company that really isn't controversial in any way. He's just like, he's just doing his own thing. He knows he's, you know, not Luis Scott Vargas, but he produces solid content and regular content, and people recognize him and like what he does and love what he does. And
that's what I mean. Like, should you be more angry at that guy?
Well, no, because he's like someone you care about as a community member.
But you don't care because he tricked you into caring about him. He tricked you.
I mean, you don't know what his deal is. Like, I think that you're assuming that he's like some sociopath that's like conning everyone and like stealing from his friends. When like realistically, this. I mean, I don't think it could have been an understanding from a misunderstanding from the facts laid out, but like,
yeah,
maybe he's got some like serious cash crunch or something and couldn't think of another way out. Like,
yeah, like,
there are circumstances that you can like put yourself in his shoes into those circumstances, you could understand, like, you can have empathy for this guy just because he like did something stupid.
For sure. Like, I was reading the article thinking the entire time, like, and then we traced the IP through Geneva, which led to like a, which led to the, like a heist that happened in 2006 and brought us to this, like, and then a snitch, a CI traded.
The announcement did read like that.
Yeah,
it did. Like, definitely read like that.
Like, I was reading it and I was on the edge of my seat, like, just nose touching my computer screen, like, who snitched? Who's the fucking snitch on this? Oh, you're not fucking qualified. You are not fucking qualified to be a snitch. Oh. Ooh. But then it didn't. At the end, it was just like, and then he won't return our calls.
The end.
And it was, you know what?
Like, to be committing a felony.
Yeah, like, to be totally...
I wouldn't want to return my boss's calls either if I just felonied him.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So this is understandable. I understand.
You know, it's a new verb, sorry. Yeah, felonied him.
I felonied the fuck out of that guy. Holy shit. So, yeah, understandable that this guy was, like, this weird sociopathic, like, put this face on and everyone is beloved and blah-de-blah. But, like, to me, that makes it even worse. Like, you put in so much time and effort and like work into this facade. That makes
it more stupid, not more despicable.
But like, I don't know, man. It's like if you found out your wife was having like, is one of those weird people that has like two families. Like, that's it's like so much worse than if she just like got drunk and fucked a guy.
It's actually nothing like that at all. But then,
like I feel I don't know TSG, so I feel
I don't know, it's either.
A giant. Like elaborate ruse where he was just like where he like wove together this web of sexual malice.
I don't. It's my, like, you know,
does that make sense?
No, not even remotely. You know, like, I understand what you're trying to say. It's like, it's so much worse than he just stole cards and sold them, you know, like a couple cards or whatever. It's like, no, he created this elaborate system of theft and resale. You know, I get it. Like, I hear what you're trying to say. It's just, it's so, it comes off so much worse.
You're also giving him, like, a lot of credit for no real reason. Like, this was a really dumb crime. Even, like, on both sides of it, right? A, it wasn't executed well at all.
Yeah.
Like, why would you steal the cards that are going to be noticed when they're gone, sell it on an eBay account that used to be tied to your name and is still tied to an email account that's tied to your name, and sell them, like, all immediately at once in a public place? Like,
yeah, like,
it was just a very poorly executed crime. And then on the other side, it's also stupid because, like, he had a career.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, like, a brand and, like, a job that is awesome and that would last him for as long as he wanted to do it.
Well, and that's, yeah, and everyone was saying, too, like, the amount of the cards was only about, like, 5K.
As I was gonna say, he needed 4K that badly that, like,
I don't, he had a wedding to pay for.
Something is weird, right? Like, this guy needed a lot of money all of a sudden. I don't think, like, again, I don't know him, but I don't, it's like, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Something is weird. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I think that it was really dumb, obviously, and, like, I'm sorry that it happened, because it's really bad for the community, and it obviously looks horrible for Channel Fireball, and I feel bad for Luis and everyone else that's there that was impacted by this. But let's get to the real important outcome here, which is that
his other family?
Magic TV. Magic TV is now going to be hosted by Matt Sperling and Tom Martell.
Which is, like, maybe even I'll watch it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. If you watched the Tom's stream when Sperling was trolling him in there.
Oh my god, and he was like, yeah, we lost a real game, but, like, a really nail-biter. Like, we just, yeah.
Yeah, Martell leaves the room, and Sperling comes in, he's like, Tom's like, here, Matt, play for me. He's like, all right. And he goes over. He scoops game one instantly.
Just insta scoops game one to mull into the mill deck.
And to sideboard into mill. And, like, they lose a long, drawn-out game after, like, a bunch of really unfortunate draws and, like, really good draws by the opponent. And then Tom's just like, oh, man, I think we're going to lose. Like, let's go to game two or go to game three. And Matt's like,
yeah.
It's awesome. But I think that they're going to be awesome for Magic TV. And honestly, like, completely separate from, again, because I don't know the guy and I don't know the situation. It's all unfortunate and blah, blah, blah. But I actually, being somebody who wasn't TSG's target audience at all, I'm not going to miss his content that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, half the reason that I tuned into Magic TV was either to watch LSV talk about something relevant or to see Tom Martell on the show anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I only watched episodes with Luis.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe a couple others because of the other person in it, like it was, you know, Chapin or somebody that was really entertaining and smart, but, like, I didn't watch that show for TSG.
No. It actually saddened me that he's Canadian.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
I hate him even more now. You go to your other family and fuck off, TSG. You stay in America with your American family.
So bad.
All right, so World Magic Cup is happening?
Oh, man.
You didn't like my live on the scene coverage of the scenario?
It was really good. No, actually, it's totally awesome. But I think there's only so many times that we can tell him to fuck off and go back to his other family before it gets just tired. So let's move on to something else and preserve the humor of it.
We need to get Jay in a helicopter so we can throw it to him on, like, the scene.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah. Jay, what's going on out there? Hey, he's got, like, the report of TSG trying to break the to get back to his family.
Yeah, like seeking asylum in Sweden and shit.
Oh, God. So here we are in the helicopter floating over his house. Yeah. Oh, there he goes. You can see the Leafs jersey. He's making a break for it.
Yeah. Oh, and he's down. They got him. They got him. Good, Scott. Oh, and what's this? Oh, there seems to be a fight breaking out on the sidewalk. It looks like it's two women. Oh, wait, sorry. I'm getting word that they're both claiming to be his wife.
Oh, God.
The street is littered with bonfires.
There's a bonfire?
No!
So anyway, you can talk about the World Magic Cup now.
Now we can?
Every single time I have to second guess myself whether I'm saying World Magic Cup or the other one that we're not allowed to say.
Which is what?
Magic World Cup.
Allowed to say Magic World Cup?
There's a difference?
Yeah, like World Cup is like trademarked or something.
Like oh, you can't something oh like I didn't know that.
That's why it's the World Magic Cup and not the Magic World Cup, which sounds way better.
Like the WWE and the WWF. That's stupid.
Huh. All right. Well, so all of the teams are finally in town, as I understand it. And we're looking
for... out. Is the tournament over when this goes out?
Yeah.
Congratulations, USA!
Second place to the Japanese.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Canada in third.
Canada's team's actually sweet.
I know.
Not as sweet as ours, but
it's tough when you've got, you know, like the second Hall of Fame shoe in,
yeah,
plus the Hall of Famer, and some other guy that's going to do what he's told.
Three players in the world or whatever.
Yeah. Plus Kibler is Kibler has also been training, as he told us on his episode, for that special invitational or whatever. With Finkel. So, like, Kibler's probably playing pretty well right now, I would imagine.
For the Players' Championship?
That's the one.
Yeah. That's a sweet tournament.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I have to tell you, like, as ridiculous as I think that tournament sounded in premise upon release, when you look at the people that are actually playing in that Invitational, or the Players' Championship, you're right. It's going to be some pretty stupid magic. Like, it's going to be really sick to watch.
Yeah. I mean, half the field is, like, unbelievable best players ever, legends. Yeah. And the other half are, like... I mean, I don't want to say half, because there are a couple duds, but... there's definitely going to be a lot of cool magic. As for the World Magic Cup, I just found Brian Kibler's tweet from yesterday, which the tournament starts tomorrow, and the tweet is... From our first evening working together in person as Team USA, we have determined that none of us understand the tournament structure.
Yeah.
USA. USA. USA.
Oh, goodness.
He's also going to be giving out Soulforge demos between rounds.
His focus is 100% in this, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's 100% focused. He's got his eye on the prize. That prize being like $250,000 for Soulforge.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, Soulforge is probably more profitable for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works like crazy at Gen Con, because he has Ascension and Soulforge and like some other project, and now he's playing also.
Yeah.
Like most of the time at Gen Con, I'll like, you know, go to dinner with him or whatever, and not see him for the rest of the time. And I only, at Gen Con, I only hang out in Magic area. I only play Magic. I'm not interested in, like, you know, the board games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally would never see him in the Magic area because he was always working on his other stuff. So
why aren't you there this year?
Yeah, me too.
Like, all right, so there's all these championship tournaments, right? Which are supposedly really sweet, but they're actually awful and have just gotten worse and worse and worse every single year. Like 2 years ago, I top-8ed Vintage Worlds. It was like 150 people or whatever, and entry fee was like $30, you know, plus a fraction of your Gen Con badge, plus a fraction of your travel there, blah, blah, blah. So it's like pretty expensive tournament, plus it's vintage. So
yeah. The deck is ridiculous. Yeah.
1 or 2% chance your deck gets stolen because there's just a million thieves, and then you're out like 5K.
Yeah.
But, and I top eighted Vintage Worlds, and I'm like, yeah, I did it. And then I got pretty unlucky to lose, and they gave me $65 worth of Prada. Sent me on my way.
Nice.
Don't worry, it's only the world championships of this format. But yeah, those tournaments are all way worse. And like, I don't even know if they didn't do PTQs last year, and I don't know if they're doing them this year. But like, they stopped doing PTQs. The championship tournaments are all worse, and this is all to make room for like Nationals last year and the World Magic Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I played Nationals last year, and so I didn't get to play Block Champs or Legacy Champs or Vintage Champs, because they all overlapped.
Ugh.
And then this year, I'm not qualified for the relevant tournament, so why would I go?
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive, and it's far away, and also, I have to admit, I was kind of going to go, but every time I'm in Indy, my friends from Chicago make me go visit them in Chicago. And I just broke up with a girl from Chicago, so I don't really want to go to Chicago.
All right. So the truth is that you don't want to see the girl from Chicago, so you're not going to Gen Con. That's really all that matters, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Blubbering baby.
It's fine. It's okay. If you man up and own it, it's less bitchy.
It's more... Seeing a girl would have been an excuse to go to Gen Con, and I no longer have that excuse available to me.
All right, that's fair. So what about next year?
I can't imagine. Unless something about Gen Con changes, I don't see myself going. Again, because I don't really do Gen Con-y things. I just go there. Sure. Like, my memories of Gen Con were, like, 6 years ago when I was first starting. Mm. I would just grind and, like, round all the tournaments.
Yeah. And
that's how I would make my money to pay my way for the next 4 months while I was in high school.
Right, right, right.
That's no longer the case. Like, that, it's not profitable that way anymore. And also, it was like, I used to be able to drive there, and now I have to fly there. And
yeah, it's awkward.
Not worth it.
Well, I think it's pretty safe bet that I'll be going next year. I hear so many people just, like, ranting and raving about just meeting everybody and doing the community thing. Like, we all haven't done the whole meeting everybody, being a grinder for how long thing that you have. So for me, it's like being able to actually meet all of these people that I see on Twitter and talk to, all, you know, all my virtual friends, as we put it, is like totally worth it.
You know, your friends aren't actually virtual. They're real. They're just, you don't know.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so they're not really virtual friends, because I know some people that have virtual friends, and that's a whole other thing you don't want to get into.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, since we're drawing that line, yeah, okay. I get on board with that. That's fine. Plus, the fact that it's in Indy, like, there's a lot of people that I know from the area that I really enjoy hanging out with. So for me, it's that opportunity to go and do that.
Going for the times is definitely worth it. Oh, also, Patrick Sullivan, who usually works there, because...
He designs billion games. Yeah.
So, usually work the WoW booth. He is not going this year. So, I really just, like, I was looking for an excuse to go, and they were all just failing me. So,
well, you should come next year.
I might.
All right. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. So all of that's going down. Everybody's having a good time out there. I understand that there is some monstrous booze cubing happening right now while we speak, which is pretty outstanding. Jay?
I hope it's fun.
Yeah.
I hope people don't screw it up. I just, like, every time I hear about other people booze cubing, I just can't imagine that they're having as much fun as, say, I
think would. The only other person that I can think of on Twitter or that we know of that would actually probably booze cube correctly, it's aside from, obviously, the booze cube. And yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's heavy metal, right?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
That guy booze cubes properly.
Because, like, oh man, the Calgary guys are such losers. Like, no offense to the Calgary guys, because now they're going to stab me at Phoenix. But like, every time I talk to those guys, I'm like, oh man, talking about the booze cube, etc. And they're just like, how does that even work? Don't you just get, like, That sounds stupid. You just get, like, so drunk right away, and then, like, and then you're just like, meow, meow, and you're like, what? Have you ever drank ever in your life? Like, are you the guy that has, like, a beer and then dies? Like, is that, are you, what are you talking about? And then they're like, oh, that doesn't sound like very much fun. Like, you just, it's so stupid. You just get drunk, and then, like, what do you, then what do you do? I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's stupid. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I guess we won't be booze cubing.
I think you guys need to do a live cast of the Booze Cube and have me sober commentate.
Oh, that would be so insane.
That would be sweet.
But you would just be rude, I bet.
GP Toronto. come to GP Toronto. We'll do it.
That's so far and not Japan.
Japan's pretty close. You're right. We could all go to Japan and do like a sake cube.
Oh man. Dude, the Japanese people, they love to drink at tournaments.
They just get rowdy.
It's insane. Kenji is like the smallest, most, like, he is a miniature person, right? And the dude drinks more than anyone I've ever seen. It's insane.
So speaking of, like, drinking trips with the Japanese, you guys are, like,
I
you've
got
one.
Stories, if that's what you're...
Like, you've got one coming up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm... Shuhei, like, today, Shuhei posted on Facebook that he was going to Vegas, and so I asked him when and, like, you know, what his plans were. He's like, I don't know, I'm just going for vacation, and gave me the dates, and so I booked him.
Wow.
Must be nice.
Literally any excuse.
You went with him one of their two previous times, right? Where, yeah. I think you tweeted about him writing an article at the tables.
Yes. It was incredible. He, they set, okay, so we're in LA for the GP the week before, and then we're going to Vegas from there. And the week after, or maybe 2 weeks after, is a Japanese GP. And so Shuhei's like, all right, so, like, we're going to go to Vegas, and then you're coming to Japan, right? And I'm like, no. Come on, man. You have to come to Japan. It's like, dude, I can't afford it. He's like, but we're going to Vegas, so you'll be able to afford it.
Okay.
No, I can't. He's like, and he said, this whole conversation was so funny because it's so not Japanese. You know, it's just, like, so out of character for a Japanese person to, like, be like this. But he goes, how much money do you need to make in Vegas to go to Japan? And so I pulled a number out of my ass that I thought was just, like, unattainable for how long we were going to be there and how much I planned on playing and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I don't know, $2,000. And he's like, $2,000? Like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'm holding you to that. Which, again, is the least Japanese thing to say ever.
Yeah.
I'm holding you to that. That's not a sentence.
They don't have words for that.
Yeah. So, sure enough, I'm down a little in my first session. In my second session, we're playing at the Wynn. I end up playing for like 12 hours. And by the end, I had accumulated a stack of a lifetime. Like, I just went on a run. It was unbelievable. And so, he, while I was looking the other way and without telling me, snapped a picture of me with my, like, stacks on stacks with the fan, the, like, wad fanned out of $100 bills in front of me, and me looking the other way because I didn't catch him taking this picture until a little later. I went on Twitter and he tweeted the picture and in Japanese said, guys, it's amazing. AJ's so good at poker. Now he's coming to Japan. He's like, I can't believe it. Aren't you guys excited to see AJ? And then the next tweet was like him adding all of the Japanese people that I'm, like, good friends with.
Wow.
Saito at Naoki Shimizu, just like, are you guys excited to see AJ? Like, he's so good at poker. This is amazing. And obviously, I'm, like, trying to bail out of this because, like, I need this money. And I'm just like, no, I can't. He's like, I can't believe that you're like betraying me like this.
Wow.
So him and Ben SW, who we were there with, it was like me, Ben, Shuhei, and his friend Tanaka. And Ben and Shuhei started an internet campaign against me. Hashtag, like, AJ's a traitor, tweeting to all of the Japanese people and English, you know, like, Ben was doing the English and Shuhei was doing the Japanese, and just like, everyone retweet this. They got like 50 retweets of the same picture of me with all my chips in front of me with like a big red X through me.
So you ended up going to Japan?
No!
That's terrible.
I'm a traitor!
It's terrible.
I kept coming up with like really childish ways to get out of it too. I was just like, no, I said I'd go to GP Nagoya, but not necessarily this GP Nagoya.
what a scummer.
Yeah. Hey, man. Gotta pay the bills.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's a rough life.
Into that again. Because $2,000, I did not think I was going to make $2,000. That's like, that was like, that would be like you saying that you wanted to win GP Toronto instead of day-2-ing it.
All right.
Right.
And accidentally achieving your goal.
Just accidentally. Whoops, I won it.
How long did it take you to win that, AJ? Like,
Well, like, that session, I was up a little under 3K in, like, 12 hours.
Wow.
And if that doesn't sound impressive to you, this is at 1-3. This isn't 2.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy then, at that limit, right? Yeah. Wow.
I was definitely shocked. And again, this, I had this conversation with Shuhei like the Friday before at the GP, so I didn't even think he remembered. Meanwhile, I'm looking the other way and tweeting. Not even...
Busted.
That's the best part, is he wasn't like, AJ, so you're coming to Japan now. Tweeted, AJ's coming to Japan now.
The Japanese.
He turned everyone against me.
So, KYT, you're going down too?
Yeah, I'm going down in 2 weeks. We'll be getting to meet Revised Angel, so that's going to be pretty nice. But going down,
is that where she lives?
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. She lives in Vegas.
It's crazy. I thought she was from the South. Somebody say that? She must have moved there. I don't know.
She was born in Texas. She moved up to
moved
Vegas.
Up. Ooh, geez, yeah. Look at that.
Everyone talks about her accent, so maybe that's why you think that. But
yeah. Hopefully, meeting her doesn't suck. That's my hopes for you.
Maybe I'll meet TSG's second family. I don't know.
maybe you'll be on the first episode of the TLC show.
Oh, God. Sorry, Scott. Oh.
My three families.
So, you guys have to hook up then. If you're going to be on the same week, like, that's going to be absurd. There must be dinner, right?
Yeah. AJ, do you spend most of your time playing poker, shows, bars, drinking? What do you spend most of your time doing in Vegas usually?
99% poker, 1% all-you-can-eat sushi.
That seems
just
like you're doing
it's just
it right.
All you can eat sushi, just
yeah. Do you guys know Christian Keith?
Nope.
Okay,
super awesome magic guy. He's just like won a couple PTQs, doesn't really play that seriously, but he's like one of my favorite humans, and he lives there, and he's like a total hipster, so he showed me all the like awesome places to eat that no one knows about.
Nice. Okay.
And so I just, like, am obsessed with the food there now. I mean, shows don't really interest me. I just want to play cards.
You don't want to go see Celine Dion?
No.
She's a national treasure. You hold your tongue, sir.
You don't want to see, like Siegfried and Roy? I don't know. One of them got eaten. I don't know.
I saw Penn and Teller.
Nice.
And I almost saw Cirque du Soleil.
Ooh.
One of their like five shows they have there. Yeah. And that's it. That's the, those are the. I almost saw one of the shows. That's.
Did you like Teller? I saw the picture you posted on Facebook of you with them, with Penn, I think.
Yeah, that was awesome. Their show was great. And also, when I was there with Shuhei, that was the first week of the World Series of Poker, and which is probably why I was able to make so much, because just all the fish come out. But we got to watch Dave Williams in his final table of the tournament that he won in 2006 or whatever.
That's cool.
Like baby horse tournament or baby stud tournament. And that was really cool. Andy Block gave me a Starburst.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, man, can I have one of them Starbursts?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
He came over and he's like, you guys want a Starburst? To, you know, his friends or fans or whatever. And they were all like, no, we're fine. And he turns to me and Ben. He's like, you guys want a Starburst? And Ben's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want a Starburst, Andy Block. And so they were like, no, we don't want to take your Starburst. You have to play. He's like, no, it's fine. And he walks back over to his chair, grabs his little backpack, comes back over and opens it. And there's just like eight things of Starburst, like just like boxes of Starburst. Fine, really, you can have one. You're a weird dude, Andy Block.
Man, you're a fucking weird dude, man.
Give me my full tilt money back.
Be awkward.
AJ, so where do you like to play the most? You mentioned the Win, I think.
Yes.
You won the big time money.
The Win it's awesome because the rake is really low and it's 1-3, so you can actually make money. 1-2, it's just like the games aren't as very good. But also, it's like a super nice room because the Win is brand new. The Win is only like 7 years old. They just built that casino. So it doesn't reek like cigarette smoke like every other place does.
Yeah, I'll make sure to check it out. Last time I just didn't. The first time I went with my family. So I basically snuck out and really late to play and didn't really go. I went to the Mirage. There were some places that just have really small rooms. Like we stayed at Treasure Island and their room is like nothing.
Yeah. It's like the Wynn and the Venetian are like the two places everyone should go check out.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. And I plan to watch, like, now that you said that it was a good show, I do plan to watch Penn and Teller this time, which I didn't get a chance to do my other two previous. Awesome.
They're really.
Also, I don't know if you know this, but KYT is also a fledgling magician, not just of the cardboard variety.
I was going to say, I knew that. That's why we're here.
Yeah. No, he actually is like, you know, real magic. like illusionist style magic.
I thought you meant literally real magic.
Yeah, yeah, he's a wizard.
Illusionist, yeah, whatever.
So.
That's awesome. Their show is really cool. You should definitely see it.
All right, I'm going to check it out for sure.
So where are you staying, KYT, this time?
My friend, so the first time I went with my family, we stayed at the Treasure Island. The second time I went with a bunch of high school friends. We stayed at the Luxor, and this time going with some college friends, two college friends of mine, and we're staying at the Bellagio. So
nice. Nice.
BDM just tweeted, holy crap, Japanese national team is cabbing it from Washington, D.C. to Indy to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like $1,000 cab. I saw them tweeting about it.
What? That's insane. They just like get the wrong city?
Like, yeah, like I guess.
I think I read they missed their connection they landed in DC, right? Yeah, they landed in DC and couldn't get to Indy. So
wow.
That's a blowout.
So speaking of blowouts.
Okay.
I'm really good at this. I do this for a weekly living, you see. AJ, I understand that we were talking previously, you know, before the show, and you had indicated that you've got like, oh wait, fuck, I can't go to you first. Jay, blowouts. You have a scumbag story you want to talk about?
That was perfect.
I totally almost blew that. It was almost.
It's a Jay, don't worry. That one's a lefty hand.
Yeah. Just, you'll just be like, no, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know what gave you that impression. Yeah, no, I sort of have a scumbag story. So I was playing FNM last week, and I was playing, like, Blue-White Delver with Geists and good cards, and I 5-0'd, and it was fun. And I'm playing Adrian, my friend Adrian, in the second round, and he was pretty mad at me. What?
The A in AJ stands for Adrian.
Oh. I wasn't playing AJ Soccer.
Okay.
And so I'm playing, and he's playing like green white ramp, and so he like I have one card in hand, and he has no cards in hand, and he's like dead on board. He has one out, and it's a miracle. What's that card called? Entreat the Angels. It's a miracle. Entreat the Angels. That's all he can do to like maybe get somewhere. And he of course draws it, and he in his excitement he's like, it's a miracle, and he slams it down, and then he taps all of his mana, and then he goes for like he says like he like taps all his mana, and then he's like super excitedly like counting his mana to be like, this is how much it's for, and I just showed him mana leak, right? And he's like, ah, and then he goes, well wait, you didn't give me enough time to declare what the value of X was. I mean, it's true. Like, I didn't, but like, come on, man. Like, you slam tapped all your mana, you showed your spell, and then you went 4 and started counting your mana as like you knew what you were doing. And I understand, like, it's upsetting when, you know, you miracle and then somebody just leaks you, but you know, whatever. And then he's like furious. He's like so upset with me. And I'm like, I'm not pushing it. He's my friend. I'm not trying to scumbag him, but for sure, he's like, He's in, like, we're both kind of in the wrong, but for sure he knows what the deal is. And so then he's just like getting upset, and he like scoops up his card. He's like, fine, whatever. And I'm like, well, like, this is how it works. If you miracle that entreat, you win. So it doesn't matter if you've scooped your cards or not, because if that resolves and you pay for the mana leak, you get like 100 million angels. I have no cards in hand, and I have no wraths in the sideboard of this deck. Like, I can't beat that. And if I leak it, then you lose. It's not like, I leak it, and then you have 2 or 3 turns. Like, this is... So just take your win. It's fine. He's like, no, it's fine. I already scooped my cards, but it's fine. And then, like, so the judge comes. You're like, what's happening? Why is everyone yelling? And so I, like, tell him the story. And then, like, he's like, no, that's not what happened. You, like, snap-flashed your mana leak, and I didn't get to clear X, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well... Like, yeah, I was a little fast on the mana leak, and you were a little excited on the miracle. Like, I was like, and I told the judge, I'm like, I don't care. If he gets the win, it's fine. I told him to take it. And he's like, no, I already scooped my cards. Just whatever. Go to game two. And I was like, okay. And then, of course, like, he mulls to 5 game 2, and I just, like, snap keep and crush him. And, like, he's mad at me, and I'm like, oh, this is the worst. I'm not supposed to scumbag my friends, and I didn't even mean to scumbag you, goddamn. So yeah, it was the worst.
That was a really Canadian scumbag story.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know,
it ended with both players being like, no, you win. No, you win. Yeah, I don't care, you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am sure glad that you went first.
We got an doozy on top, do we?
Daddy of scumbag stories. So, there's this guy who shall remain nameless.
Come on.
I literally cannot. This isn't my story to tell, so.
Oh, okay.
So then it should be even easier to say his name.
So, scumbag guy is, like, kind of homeless, I guess. He, like, doesn't have a place to stay, and he's, like, kind of stranded. So, really nice girl has an extra room in her place and is like, you can crash here for a while until you, like, figure your shit out, right?
Oh, my God. Is it Chris Macaroni? Oh, my God. It's Chris Macaroni.
So, talk out.
Carry on, please.
So, scumbag guy lives at her house. And, like, you know, uses her stuff and...
Like, shaves with a razor and shit.
Yeah, and not paying any rent.
Yeah.
And, like, contributing at all. And not, like, looking for a place to stay. He's just, like, completely barning off this girl. And, also, it should be mentioned that he doesn't bathe.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, sweet.
Yeah, which adds so much to this entire story. If you just keep it in the back of your mind that this man does not clean himself.
This is going to end up with funky genitalia somewhere, man. Oh my god, okay.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's also really fat.
So he sweats a lot is what you're saying?
This isn't enough that I'm gonna look back on the text where this person's telling me this story. I'm going to make sure that this person is fat. Because I don't want to call the scumbag the shit fat if he's not fat.
Like, I'll call you out on a national podcast, but I will not mislabel you a fat person.
That would be bullying and hateful.
He's very fat. I can't give you his exact measurements because it's way, but this dude is huge and
he's a sweaty fat fuck.
Yeah. So this guy is just like completely barning off this girl and not doing anything of worth. And somehow they start dating despite all of this.
What?
Inexplicable, I know, but you'll have to bear with me because this is true. So they start dating, and she has a collection. And so he's always like borrowing her cards to play in these tournaments. And
this guy is actually a scumbag.
Yeah, he's just like the biggest barnacle ever. And they start dating, and he is just constantly cheating on her. Like, all the time, including with like girls' relatives. So
okay, hold on. So this girl can't be a catch, right?
No, she is. She's totally awesome.
No, but okay, but yeah, she's got a really nice personality. No, but like, so is this guy just unreal charming? Is she terribly desperate, or like,
what's the story?
It's because there's something really missing here. Yeah, no, like I'm not saying you're lying to us. I'm just saying there's a huge piece of this that's missing.
I didn't believe it either. No, it's just that like she has some issues.
Okay,
she's actually a total catch and is awesome, but she just has like some self-esteem stuff, I guess.
All right, sure. So she's hot and she just doesn't know it.
Yeah, basically.
Sure, okay.
And so maybe she just likes fat guys. I don't know.
Could be a chubby chaser. That's the thing.
That's pretty common.
It's common. It's okay.
Order, you know?
Yeah, like, you smell like cheese.
Yeah.
Gets me hot.
Sexy man. Yeah. So he's like cheating on her constantly. And
with her family members. Yeah.
Yes, and she's just like, this is not okay. You're like staying at my house rent free. Like, I've wanted you out, you know, for a while. Like, I expected you to only be here for a short time. And he's just like, nope, I'm going to keep living here and using all this.
Just and, nope.
Yeah. No, I kind of like things the way they are. So I'm going to leave them like that.
Suck on that.
Finally, they go to this tournament and separately. I think it was like she was somewhere else, and so they both like happened to go to this tournament. Maybe they had just broken up. I'm not sure. But girl is playing in this tournament and sees this other girl a couple tables over playing with her cards in her sleeves.
Oh my god.
And like confronts her, and he's like, she's like, yeah, I got him from this guy, and it's him.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
Either they had just broken up or they broke up because of that, I don't remember. But like the guy finally gets out and takes her entire collection with him.
Oh, wow, that's a real person.
I'm glad you went first, Jay.
Yeah.
That friend, the scumbag.
You have to tell us who that is.
I literally am not allowed to.
Who's the girl?
I'll tell you personally who the girl is, but not on.
All right. Well, our listeners at least would love the reaction. So you can just type it in the chat and we won't say it.
I don't think you know her.
Well, that's fine. Somebody might, as in Jay or KYT. KYT, maybe. He knows a ton of people. As we all click the link. Huh.
I'm mind blown. So.
Wow. Really?
That's yeah.
So crazy. That's so crazy.
That is so crazy. Wow.
But she, at least she's done with it, and like her friends all like gave her a bunch of cards and stuff.
She didn't even get her cards back? Huh? Like she didn't get,
That's right.
Oh, wow. Man, that's so crazy.
Wow.
I think, I can't believe I just left the AT speechless.
So here we are, like, all of us quickly trying to digest as much about this person as we can, trying to determine, like, how much of this is actually,
I'm trying to figure out, like, which one of TSG's wives this is.
Yeah!
Oh, man, that's crazy.
This girl, like, she seems totally cool and awesome.
Yeah, like, I'm actually, like, very close to dating her.
Oh, see, look at that. There's your scumbag story. It's just a setup. It's a match.
The scumbag story is that AJ hired this baby.
Yeah, hired the dude, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he could come in and, like, be the sweet, you know, hero sweep in. Oh, I'm so sorry you dealt with all of that.
Because I need that, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way I would ever get a woman.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying here, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an insane scumbag story. That guy needs to be, like, dragged out to the street and bathed.
Yeah.
And bathed.
he apparently still like goes to events and like has friends.
Yeah.
Man.
These people exist.
Yeah, we complain about those people all the time.
Oh man, it was like that time that I saw that like rhinoceros guy, and he had like sweatpants that were like 18 days old on with like butthole like sweat stains, and fucking he had like a giant hole on the inside pant leg of his sweatpants. He was just walking around like it was nothing, like whatever. Like just whatever, like yeah, these are my giant gams. Yeah, yeah. Check this out.
Man. Shout out to Captain Sweatpants.
See my six knees? Yeah.
Honestly, when she was telling me this story, I thought it was pose gay the whole time.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, that's a pretty good scumbag story.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of our best.
Yeah, I'd say. That's well suited. You know what we should do for episode 100? We should just go through and ask everybody that's been on the show to, like, tell another scumbag story, and we'll record them all and just sew them all together. Or maybe we'll just take all of the ones that we've had over the last 100 episodes and sew them all together.
Pretty good.
You want
one more for the road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A magic scumbag story.
Yeah, those are good too.
Involving one of the public's favorite people, Alex Bernancini.
Yeah. Oh, we like those.
So he played that Merfolk deck forever, and one event playing the Bant deck, he installed his Merfolk deck together, because, you know, whatever, and so he gave it to one of his friends to play at this tournament, and the friend came up to me with the deck after, like, round two, and he's like, AJ, does this seem right to you? I take it, and I look through it, and I'm like, something is weird, and I look back through it, and all of his lands, or all of his islands, and wastelands were foil, and three Aether Vials were foil.
Oh, God.
One Aether Vial, and all of the creatures, and counters, and stuff, were not foil. So I'm like, yeah, this seems a little wrong. And so we sat there for like 20 minutes, literally sorting the deck face down.
Wow.
Just like, it was so easy. At a glance, I could tell if the top card was a land or not. And like, we sorted it face down and we were able to cut to whichever type of card we wanted very easily. And we did this for like 20 minutes, like me and these two other guys. And I'm like, yeah, this is like really fucked up. So guy brings it up to the front desk and he's like, hey, like, check out this deck. I think it's pretty marked. Like, what do you think? And the guy looks at it for like 5 seconds. Like, nope, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, our judges at work. That's terrible.
Yep.
I just, you know what? The problem is I think that there are a lot of really good, like, mechanic cheats. I mean, some of them have been, you know, recently taken out of the game, and some others recently invited back, you know, and teaching their 14-year-old brothers how to play Magic.
Who's that?
Oh, man, I have another story. Okay, sorry. Go.
Yes!
No, go ahead. It's fine. All I was just trying to say is I think that a lot of the judges today aren't familiar with the old mechanics cheats. And,
yeah, that's for sure true.
Yeah. So, carry on.
Like, pretty bad at catching cheaters because, like, they don't realize how easy it would be to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, basically the only thing that keeps everyone from cheating is, like, morality and not actually...
fear of being caught.
The fact that it's difficult.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually not at all. But the judges would prefer to think that it's really, really hard to cheat. And thus, that, like, very... that if somebody were cheating, then it would be obvious. I don't know. But anyway, you guys know Casey McCarroll, right?
Who? Sure.
Really?
Who?
No. Casey McCarroll?
Nope.
Nope.
Like, Wild West, old school, one of the biggest scumbag cheaters in the history of magic.
Sure, okay.
Mike Long level, just horribly infamous for...
We understand the inverse pedestal you are putting him on. Carry on.
On that trip, and I'm playing at this table. Everyone is horrible, except for one guy kind of knows what he's doing. And we haven't really gotten any hands together. We've been kind of avoiding each other because we both like recognize that we're the only other person at the table that isn't free money. And I played with him for like 2 or 3 hours. And then finally, this guy comes over and he's like, John, or whatever the guy's name is, I don't remember. He's like, John? John, is that you? And he's like, what? He's like, John, dude, I totally know you. Like, I know you from your brother. You look exactly like him. And he's just like, oh, you know Casey? Do you play Magic? He's like, no, I know him from poker. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. And they talk for a while. Meanwhile, my ears perked up at the mention of Magic. And I'm just like blatantly eavesdropping, waiting for this conversation to end to ask this guy what's up. And so they finish talking, and he walks away. I'm like, so you said something about Magic. What's going on there? And he's like, oh, like my older brother played Magic professionally before moving to poker. And I was just like, oh, really? Like, was he, you know, does he still play? Like, I'm actually a pro Magic player. Like, I might know him. Who's your brother? And he goes, Casey McCarroll. And I just about spit out my Cheerios. Instantly got up and ran over to the table where Ben was playing and like dragged him back. And I was just like, Ben, look, it's Casey McCarroll's little brother. And Ben's just like, oh my God, that's amazing. I was like, yeah, we've been playing together for like 3 hours. I had no idea. He's like, oh, that's so funny. He leaves. And the guy's just like, oh, you guys Magic guys? Like, yeah, that's so funny. We totally know who your brother is. And like, I guess Shuhei to come over too. And I'm like, Shuhei, that's Casey McCarroll's little brother. And Shuhei just goes, oh. Okay. And then like leaves. But so then he's just like, oh yeah, so you guys know my brother, right? And it's just like, no, I've never met him, but like I've definitely heard of him. I mean, you know, right? He's like, what? And I was like, I mean, you know what his, you know, what the perception of him is in the Magic community, right? And the guy goes, yeah, he's a total killer.
Oh, God.
And I was like, ah, not quite. What's going on? Like, I thought he was, you know, a big shot. And I was like, yeah. Let's just say that the Magic community as a whole does not hold him in the highest regard.
Oh, no.
Like, the girl at the table next to him was just like, ooh. The guy was just like, huh. And then, like, looked down, didn't say anything else. And then, like, when his big line came, he picked up and left.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The total master. Or he's, like, a renowned scumbag. Like, when people need an example of a cheater, he's, like, the second one on the list.
Oh, goodness.
So, shoutouts then, I guess? Is that where we're at now? We're into, like, an hour 46 or something here?
Shoutouts!
Allow me to compose myself.
The shout out part.
I'm gonna go first this week, if you don't mind. Yeah, so like, shout out to AJ for joining us, man. It was awesome. It's, I know we've been trying to, you know, get you on for a while, and I'm glad that we could finally pull it together, because I had a really good fucking time tonight. Shout out to LegitMTG for helping me out with the new article series. I think it's going to be pretty fantastic. Shout out to both Revised Angel and Ruben Bresler this week, because I just crushed J.Cal's dreams by being on Sweet Tweets and 20 Tweets in the same week. So, yeah, thank you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is AJ Soccer giving me the slow clap.
Yes.
Thank you. So, yeah, I finally landed. But anyways, that's sort of where I'm at. I have to give a shout-out to Tyrone at MTG Rainstorm. He's starting to do his own streams, which is cool. And like I said, I would listen to that man read the phone book. So it's totally awesome to check him out, too. Shout out to Team Canada, who undoubtedly crushed everybody that's not potentially American or Japanese at the World Magic Cup this week. And thanks to everyone who is at Gen Con. Shout out to Real Evil Genius from Brewport Avenue. He knows why, and he earned it. And that's it for me. AJ, go ahead. Take the floor, sir.
Okay. First shout out goes to Christian Keefe. Thank you for hosting me in Vegas, and start being responsible so that you can get a house and we can live together and be a happy family.
Yeah, you have a dream of being the sweaty fat guy paying no rent.
At least I bathe. Shout out to, I don't know, Cedric for being awesome. He's been really helpful lately, and my stream viewers and sponsors and moderators. Yeah.
Sweet. Jay, go.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
Fine. KYT, go.
No, go, Jay.
Shout out to you, John Medina. Thank you for not being here tonight.
Yeah.
Shout out to Creepy Carrie Dan. I hope they're not hiding bodies when you take your break. I hope that's not what that's for. Shout out to, I don't know if I've done this yet, but shout out to the Durf for our new art. Man, it's fucking sick. It is so awesome, and I wish, god damn it, Twitter would fucking put my new avatar up. God damn it. I have to give a shout out to this guy who is named Mr. Tarzan. Steve Argyle is at Gen Con, and he has a bunch of, like, what he calls binder candy, which I think is like a sweet term, for like all these like artist proofs that are like full art, famous things that he's drawn, like Liliana and shit, right? And he said that if anybody helps retweet his tweets for advertising for people to come to Gen Con, he'd give them like a full set of these binder candies, but I'm not at Gen Con. So I tweeted that I would like some, and of course this Mr. Tarzan was like, man, I'll get you some, it's no problem, and then did, and is now going to ship me them, so that's sweet.
Sick. Big fan. Now you'll get them like next year, because he's shipping them from the States to your ass in Canada.
Yeah, but that's fine, because I'm just going to put them, if they fit in a card sleeve, which I assume that they do, I'm just going to use the good ones as like full art, super art cube cards, because I think that would be sweet.
Yeah.
What else I got? Shout out to Love Your Noodle on Twitter. She makes funny drawings and knits wool hats. And I think that we should get her to knit us some custom A-Team toques. To
go with GP Toronto.
Yeah, yeah, to go with our custom A-Team hoodies.
Hoodies.
Hoodies. Hoodies.
Because how mad-ass were those hoodies, by the way?
Also, like, how big is KYT's head?
Yeah.
Even Stewie.
It has to hold that ginormous brain, dude.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I guess that's true. I got to give a shout out to Jack LaCroix, who is not as funny as he used to be anymore, now that I can't see Chris Lansdale's tweets. He's still a funny guy. And he actually commented on the newest episode, which he doesn't very much. So shout out to Jack LaCroix, who's always like a great guy anyway. I like having conversations with him because he's fairly intellectual but still says swears, which makes it so much more interesting.
He's a big fan of ours and you know, big, strong proponent of all the work that he's been putting in. He's been a really good member of the MTG cast community for a long time. Yeah, so yeah, that's a really good shout out.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And then last, I got to give another shout out to Dave Marshall, who put a big comment on our show, which I think everybody should read, and it was about the whole like, if you practice enough, can you get better, et cetera, et cetera. Almost,
is that the music teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Almost everything he said in his comment, I was going to say and then didn't, because I knew Medina would just be like, so I was just like, nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's And then I totally forgot about it, because I always forget about what we're casting about, because like in 6 days someone will tweet me like some funny thing that AJ says, right? And I'll be like, what? Are you insulting my family or something? And I'm like, dude, on the show, man. And I'm like, and I still don't really know. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, I remember that. That's pretty good. So I totally forgot, didn't think anyone was going to comment on it. And he ended up commenting on it. So thank you for explaining that in a way that actually, you know, sounded like you knew what you're talking about. And then like lastly, just two small shout outs. One to Shaolin Monk. Please don't become a Willy G. And also, all the fun that we're poking at you, and you kind of, you touched on it in one of your comments about how you like commenting, like, because you want to have something to talk about and make sure that, like, what you're talking about is accurate and et cetera. That's good. We're making fun of you because, like, that's just what you do to your friends. You just make fun of your friends. But you, it's really great that your comments actually make sense, and that you don't, like, you know, comment 6 years after you listen to it and then someone else in the comments corrects you. And then lastly,
if he feels we're making fun of him, then I think he's just misconstruing the love that we've got for him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what happens. Like you make fun of your friends get all pissy, and then they misconstrue the love, and then you're blocked on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they scoop up their cards because you prematurely showed them a mana leak.
Yeah, exactly. And then oh my god, now you're not getting invited to cube drafts anymore. So Shaolin Monk, just zen out a little bit and just chill it. And then also Ben Clinton. Same thing. Just gonna dial it back a little bit of the make fun of the Ben Clinton hour, and just don't fucking lose your mind over something that somebody on a show says. Don't lose your mind over it. Just gotta chill out and at least I'm not TSG. just and at least I bathe, and I'm
don't
not
squat.
We're actually all looking pretty awesome right now.
Yeah, like by comparison, all these people, like holy. Yeah. So Ben Clinton, you're like the fifth member of the eight. I don't know if that's accurate, but you're.
That's so bad.
Lose it. Don't get all crazy. Cry yourself to sleep. You want to cry about something? Cry about how your fucking arm doesn't work anymore, and how you're
stuck on midnights.
Shit, fucking airline that no one gives a shit about.
And that
cry. I mean, you got other problems, is what I'm saying. So just don't cry about what we say about you, because we love you.
I don't know
KYT,
you.
Save us.
JJ, you gotta mention. You always mention this guy.
Oh no, I don't have to mention.
Wow, brutal.
Fuck that.
He'll know. So mine's gonna be quick, Jay. We should have made you go last. Shouts to AJ. Really great to have you on the show. Really great stories tonight. And I'm gonna check out the win when I get down and see if I can find a way to tweet you to tell you where I'm at when I'm there. Shouts to Jay. I mean, I think the second family joke is up there with like one of the funniest things.
It's right? Guys, it's up there with like the homeless sandwich, right?
Yeah,
it's, like that's up there.
By the way, Billy's coming back to town.
What?
The last time he was here, I don't know if you heard about this, AJ, but the last time, like, so Billy, you know who Billy Moreno is, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Okay, so Billy Moreno's in town, and I'm kind of talking to him, but I don't know if he likes me or not, kind of, sort of, because, like, he was originally...
That's adorable.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty, like, Billy Moreno. And so I'm like, what's happening? And I'm trying to make small talk and be, like, a journalist so that, you don't just run up to a celebrity and be like, oh, my God, I love you. So I'm trying to engage him, and then, but you're a celebrity too, so you can get away with it. So I'm trying to engage him, and so I'm doing it, coming in and interrupting us. I'm like, God damn it, fuck off! And so I'm
who was
Nick Navratil? Like I love Nick death, but God damn it, Nick Navratil. And so talking to Billy, I'm like, hey, so by the way, what are you doing after this? Like, how long are you in town? He's like, oh, I'm only in town until tomorrow. I'm like, well, I saw you tweet earlier, you might not have had a place to stay or you're looking for somewhere to go. I got lots of room in my house. We're going to cube draft later, so you should, if you want to come and hang out. He's like, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome. I give him my number. He fucking gives it to someone else and then tries to phone me. Like, that person tries to phone me, and they fuck the number up. And here I am just, like, sitting with, like, five guys at my house waiting for Billy to come and draft. He's sitting in a restaurant with a bunch of other people waiting for me to come and draft. And we never ended up hooking up. God damn. So he's back in town, and I'm contemplating going to, like, try to do it again, but it's not at my, like, regular local store, so I got to support a different store, which I still like. I like this other store, but, and then it'd be awkward. I'd be like, Billy, man, remember that last time you ditched me? Like,
Well, in a situation like that, I can only ask myself one thing, and that would be, what would Billy Moreno do?
Yeah.
Jay, your life is so hard.
Oh, God, I don't want to keep drafting somebody that I really like at some store that I'm not a fan of.
What if he says no? I don't know.
What if I get there and I'm the seventh?
AJ. So she had to not, had to be, like, so awesome like him.
Dude, I don't know. Billy Moreno is really awesome. He's a chill dude.
Yeah.
You should be fine.
Yeah, and like
definitely hang out with him though. He's pretty funny.
I'm gonna try. And like I remember, I also tried to invite Jared Maguire to come draft with us. I'm like, hey man, what are you doing after this? He's like, nothing. I'm like, you want to come draft with Billy Moreno? He's like, what? Why the fuck would you ask me that? I'm like, that's good to do very often. It seems like it might be an interesting experience. He's like, I fucking hate that guy. I'm like, he fucking designed Miracle.
Are you serious?
I was like, oh my god. Come on, you gotta come then. You gotta come and you just gotta like open a bonfire and then just fucking bonfire him in the face.
God, I hate this card. Here.
He's like, no, fuck that guy. Fuck that. Fucking fuck that. That's no. I'm like, oh, okay. Alright, see you around.
Yeah. Message sent and received.
Oh, Lord.
What were we doing there? KYT shoutouts?
That was your shoutout.
Get back to that.
And, I don't know, I just lost my train of thought. Shoutouts to all the comments that we've been getting every week, and it's been getting really crazy that, my good friend Frank just posted this in one of the Facebook groups. He says, let me read it up. The common thread on these 18 episodes is the most disturbed shit I've read in quite some time. I knew the show appealed to degenerates, but I didn't think it was that bad. So.
Wow.
What's up, WKR? Well, me with your changing your name to Frank.
But, yeah. We've got some pretty, like, Shaolin Monk is, like, a pretty hardcore fan, so extra shout-outs to that guy.
We got, quite literally, 59 comments last episode.
And it's only, like, 40.
Popular. Seriously, right?
Oh, I have one more shout-out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm done.
Izzy Hayes. Yay.
Yay, Izzy Hayes. You're sweet.
Yep.
Is Izzy Hayes a girl?
Yeah, she is. That's a good read.
Yeah. See, because it was a little ambiguous, and so I caught it. I figured it out.
How is Izzy ambiguous?
Well, it could be a guy's name.
Like a British guy from the 70s?
No, like, well, what about Guns N' Roses?
Like a Jewish guy?
I don't think it's a guy's name, man.
Yeah, it's a guy's name.
I'm looking it up. Okay.
The internet will save me.
So am I.
Dueling keyboards. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Wow. Isidore. Izador.
Boom. Roasted. See that, kids? AJ sucked at
anything. Yeah, you got me, man. Okay, it's Isabel Hayes. How about that?
There you go.
That's good.
Nice. So AJ, I gotta say, so I'm angling for a PT Montreal coverage gig. What do you think?
If you get an in, you know, hook a brother up.
Fair enough. All right, done.
The pro tours are like Wizards thing. So like I'm super good friends with the guys at GG's Live, and yeah, Obviously I'm in bed with Star City. So those events,
I was just asking your opinion about me potentially being able to do the job.
Yeah, I mean, do it.
Yeah. All right.
For a while I was thinking about doing a Talking Heads show, and I wanted you to host it.
I know. And we never did that, and it made me sad.
Yeah. It's still possible. It's not like one of us died or something.
Noted.
I don't think.
No.
As far as I know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still possible. We'll see.
All right. Well, you know what? Everyone's going to ask for it once we do our episode of For Legit.
Shit, you're right.
It's gonna happen.
It'll edit be a it subject. Out!
That's right. Carry that! Edit that out!
Save me from having to do more work. To sleep all day, every day.
Bathe every
time. And bathe.
And bathe. I do
don't
like bathing.
Don't forget the bathing.
Or I like being bathed. I don't know if I like bathing.
Oh, see, now if there's something about the Japanese culture I could go for, it's the being bathed. Like, there's so many things, but, like, that is awesome. In, like, really hot water.
Okay.
With like a really scrubby sponge. That's awesome.
Fuck, you're so old.
When we reach the 2-hour mark, does it always kind of get like this?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like when you go to a bar after 2 o'clock, no one's ugly.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me, and fucking hit me up whenever you need somebody.
Sweet. As long as you always have stories, you're always welcome.
You know what? It's terrible, too, because we sit there and we're like, geez, you know, like, AJ's going to come on. What's AJ been doing lately? Oh, I don't know. Well, what else we got going on? No. And we keep forgetting how much goddamn fun we have with you on the show. It's insane. Like, who cares what he's doing? It's AJ. Let's just have fun.
I'll just tell stories that have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
It's completely fine.
Japanese.
It's so funny. All right. Well, I guess we'll call it because, yeah, we're getting long in the hours and we're all getting off the wheel. So, yeah. Episode 99 coming up. Probably a break before we unleash the epicness that will be 100.
If you have any good ideas about 100, let us know.
Oh, we'd love to hear them. But understand that it can't be a live show because we're doing that in GP Toronto. So, something else.
Something awesome.
Right. And maybe if our listeners can help out, maybe Kyle, for if he's going to change the intro again with new lines. Somebody did that already.
Hold on, somebody did that. Yeah, somebody did that already. Really? Hold on.
My favorite for Jay, I didn't see the other one, but my favorite for Jay before this episode was the one where he goes, what do I learn from Jonathan Medina? Absolutely nothing on the Flores episode. That was really good.
So Joshua Matich is from L.A., California, went through and actually did all this for us. So he suggests KYT's is from episode 72. Instead of, I don't know about you guys, I'm mind-tricking myself constantly. How about, might be the real deal then. I guess he took it and ran it. I guess he took it and ran with it. Admittedly for me, this is tip of the cap to episode 72 since it was the first episode I ever listened to. Fine. Jay, instead of they're of a different culture, KYT, they prefer their magic untainted by the internet. How about, it just says I'm the game day champion. That must be Japanese or something. Scotty, instead of then you just pull the fucking Mind Slaver and just dome them with their own dude, that's entertainment. How about that's a really tough call, John. I mean, like, we really don't have any sort of visibility into the metagame. And Medina, instead of I'm on camera and I'm like, oh man, don't blink, act like you meant to do this. How about, okay, don't chest bump and don't talk, just hit them first. Anyways, I thought it was hilarious, and he went so far as to actually, like, time index and episode mark all of them, so, yeah, like, shout out to that guy, because that was fucking awesome.
That's awesome. If people are going to do that for you, you should update them, like, every 10 episodes or whatever.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, AJ, our fans are pretty insane, and we love them all.
Yeah, they seem sweet.
Yeah, man. It's pretty awesome.
AJ, right, I just remember the exact line. That motherfucker didn't teach me shit.
What did I learn from Jonathan Medina? That motherfucker didn't teach me shit.
Yeah, that's good. All right.
Maybe we'll take this one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Bye, guys. Nice. All right.
See you later.
Take it easy, guys. Have a good night.
Night, peace. AJ.